In 1960, a well-known literature professor at Smith College in Northampton, Massachusetts, was arrested for having gay pornographic materials in his apartment. 4 decades later, the scandal became the basis of a nonfiction book. Now the story is getting a new telling, an operatic one, on the very college campus where the original events took place. New England Public Radio's Karen Brown reports.
About a dozen singers, professionals, and students sit in a theater at Amherst College as choral director Gregory Brown leads them through lyrics you don't often hear in opera.
1, 2, 3, and. Tiki, sneaky,
call me Tiki. They are rehearsing for the fall premiere of a new production, The Scarlet Professor, based on Barry Worth's book of the same name.
They've magically, I think, transformed this into a kind of a musical theater piece, very, very different from the treatment that I gave it, but in its bones, very close, I think, to the actual truth of the events.
Worth spent years researching the arrest of Smith College English professor Newton Arvin, who was an expert on Nathaniel Hawthorne's classic, The Scarlet Letter. On Labor Day weekend in 1960, Arvin's apartment was raided by the Massachusetts Police Anti-Smut Unit and the local postmaster, who found Beefcake magazines as well as Arvin's sexual journals.
This became known as the Smith College homosexual scandal of 1960. Internally, this was years before Stonewall. This was something that was almost undiscussable at Smith. They referred to it as the affair.
The incident led to Arvin's public humiliation, his outing of two close colleagues as gay, the end of all their careers at Smith, and eventually, Worth says, two pivotal court decisions on obscenity and privacy, though too late to help Arvin.
In 1960, there was a purity binge in the United States. McCarthyism as a political movement was spent, but it was picked up with a kind of puritanical zeal by social conservatives.
After reading Worth's book, composer Eric Sawyer of Amherst College and lyricist Harley Erdman of the nearby University of Massachusetts decided to turn it into an opera. Like the book, the opera draws parallels between Arvin's public disgrace and that of Hawthorne's heroine, Hester Prynne, who was forced to wear the letter A on her dress for adultery.
And so did I, like Hawthorne before me, build my own dismal chamber.
The opera, which stars tenor Bill Hight, tells Arvin's story mostly through flashbacks and his imagination after he checks himself into the Northampton State Hospital for psychiatric treatment.
I can't go forward. I can't retreat.
I'm not drawn to art that deals with heroes.
Lyricist Harley Erdman.
I'm actually drawn to art with the people who are tormented, conflicted, unsuccessful, failing, and yet come to some kind of transformation where they can take action.
Composer Eric Sawyer admits he needed a little convincing to see Arvin as a compelling central character.
He was a victim, but he also was a difficult character to consider completely admirable because he named names. He named the names of his friends.
Now I turn 60. My life is over.
In the end, though, Sawyer connected with the complexity of Arvin's motives.
He had trouble liking himself. And that, I think, is sympathetic. I think it's something a lot of people can relate to.
2 and 3. Tenor.
Newton Arvin was forced to retire his faculty position at Smith College after the scandal. His colleagues were fired. He wrote one more literary biography before he died 3 years later at 63. Opera director Ron Bashford.
Even though this was a very painful period for Arvin and he was outed against his will, ultimately it helped him become a more integrated, honest person. So he didn't live that much longer after all of this happened. But he did somehow manage to become, as he said, a person at peace with himself.
Love who you want to love. Love without fear, love without blame.
The opera will debut, fittingly, on the Smith College campus next month, along with a symposium about the Arvin case. Smith English professor Michael Thurston says no matter how far the college has come since 1960, from gay rights to free speech,
I think we are the product of our histories. There's no getting away from the fact that wherever we are around any issue in 2017, we got there through the actions of past actors, whether they were individuals or institutions.
And putting that history on stage, Thurston says, could help stop it from being repeated. For Here and Now, I'm Karen Brown.
Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.